All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
And Zach.
What is that intro? It sounded different to me.
That's because we weren't talking over it.
Oh,
you guys all forgot to crack your beers.
I guess it just oh, one sec.
I cracked my beer during the intro.
I was right after.
You can go back and hit the rewind button.
It's Friday afternoon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Oilers Nation Radio, episode 168. Bag Milk here. We got a full house today. Dan, Rick, Tyler, all here. Zach Lang sitting in on this one as well, because we are getting back to Nation HQ. It's nice to have people back in the mix a little bit more. Zach
just walked into the office and was like, this is my desk. I'm going to put all my stuff from home here.
I
was like,
you just claimed it.
Yeah, I claimed it. I got a Chris Pronger figurine, a Ryan Smith figurine, and an Oilers flag that's going to come with me.
Too. Squatter's so, rights.
Damn yeah. Rights, baby.
Well, as soon as that table got set up in the corner, I'm like, that's mine and don't even bother.
Things
anybody.
Change yeah. Every time, every day, though.
Yes.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I wanted to sit by the big man, so.
Well, and I also have been pushing for my own office up here as well. I think I might just go steal one from Oodle Noodle's side, but we'll see what happens.
Are there extra ones over there?
There's extra ones over there. Oof. So I might just take one. And like Rick said, squatter's rights. But
what are they going
to
do?
But then once in a while, you'll have to pretend that you work for Oodle Noodle. So you'll be
but
like,
I do
talking.
Work for Oodle Noodle.
Fair enough. But people will walk by, you'll be talking about like hockey. Then you'll have to be like, and the latest
butter chicken.
Yeah, butter chicken is, and then when they walk away, you can go back talking hockey.
But you got to be careful though. Is it going to be like at a party when, you know, you're on the, like the good couch and you really got to pee, but you know, as soon as you get up, someone's stealing your spot.
Fair. Yeah. So that's why I'll just take the cushion with me. I think that's going to be the approach. So this
you
specific
can lock it up.
Case.
You can lock it up like George in his bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Or I'll just light all my stuff on fire and you can't have it. If I can't have it, then no one can.
Take my ball and go on home.
All right. Let's get to work here. Tyler, as we do every week, we start off the podcast with our Oodle Noodle Delicious Debate. What do you got for us?
Leon Draisaitl, he's a hot guy.
Yes, he
is. He's on pace for 84 goals. But like he said, Leon said it, I'm not going to score 82 goals this year.
He didn't say that. He said, do you expect to?
Yeah.
So sorry. He never once said he won't do
it. Fair. I don't think he will. Only two players since the NHL lockout have gotten over 60 goals in a season. Stamkos got 60 once. Ovi got 65 once. The delicious debate is, how many goals will Leon Draisaitl score this season?
All right, so let's look at it right now. He's got 20 in 19 games. If you remember back to our season predictions episode, we were betting on whether or not he's going to clear 43. Well, that seems like an easy one at this point. But how many does he actually hit? Again, 20 in 19 games, a heater of all heaters. To me, 50, easy clear. But I'm going to say, I'm going to be try to be realistic here. I'm going to say 56. That's going to be my first guess. Leon Draisaitl finishes the year with 56 goals.
We writing these down?
Yeah, let's write these down. I'll take care of that.
Just write them on the wall.
Nation Dan, you are to my left. How many goals does Leon Draisaitl finish the year for or with?
I'm going to say just because of this season and the way that he, like, you know, you kind of expect a guy to up and down, but he's still at 21 goals through 20 games. So I'm going to say 63.
Dan says 63. I'm 56. Dan's 63. Tyler, you're up next.
I was waiting for you to say like 90 just to like make me mad.
No, I can't. I can't go too high because I think my preseason prediction for Draisaitl was like 120 or 115, something like that. So I was high, but I wasn't that high.
I think my preseason prediction was like 45, which is obviously going to be way off base here, but I'm going to get close to Dan. I'm going to say he gets 61 this season.
So we've got 56 Bag Milk, 63 Dan, 61 Tyler. Next up, Zachary Lang.
I'm split in the middle between you guys. I'm going to take 62.
Ooh. Oh, we got a little Price is Right here.
Price is Right, absolutely.
Wrap it up, Rick.
Don't you dare, Rick.
OG Yakupov.
No.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
I was literally sitting here with 62 on the tongue, and y'all took it, so I'm going OG Yakupov.
Well, I had 63, so then I had to pivot. That's why I took 62, because I was like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going to split the difference.
Here's part two of this debate.
Okay.
At what point do you start to believe 50 and 50 is a possibility?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is like, what game do we say 50 goals is? That's the question.
Well, because I was thinking about that too, because every year generally is Austin Matthews that goes off to a hot start and he's got like, you know, 6 goals through 10 or something. And they say, oh, well, maybe he can get close to it. Well, now we're talking about a guy who's got 20 and 19. So do you have to wait till 30 games? I don't know.
I'd say 40 is when I'd start. 35 is when I'd start to go, okay, we got to be on 50 and 50 watch. Right now I'm not there yet, but if he's at 35 goals at 35 games, that's when I'd be like, okay, he might do it.
Which, quite frankly, if he's at 35 goals in 35 games, I'm going to be howling laughing because that is absurd. Nobody does that.
I don't expect him to drop down below like a 3-goal behind kind of pace. Do you know what I mean? Like if you say he's at a goal a game pace right now or just a little bit more, I don't expect him to drop much more than that. The whole time. I'm thinking that we're looking at 50 and 50 right now.
So then you think he's just going to cool off once he gets 50 and 50?
I think it's going to come in spurts, though.
Another 32 games afterwards, and he puts up 13 goals.
I honestly think that the push is there. It's not, you haven't seen the cooldown yet, so
he's shooting 29%, which is like high. But when he had his 50-goal season, he shot 22 over the course of 82 games. Like, it's not like he's going to drop off significantly when he does, which is why I think he eventually gets to that 60-goal mark this season. But, yeah, I mean, I could very easily see him getting 50 in 60 games.
That's crazy. That's crazy. 50 and 60 is nuts, especially in 2021.
The thing with, like, pure goal scorers, like a Ovechkin type, is a guy like Draisaitl shoots from the same spot all the time. And he's just daring goalies to beat him. And then what happened against the Coyotes when he's just waiting for the goalie to square up on him and then he just dishes to someone else and they put it in the net, no problem.
Dude, it's like the Rangers, man. Goalie had all day to square up to when he put a 5-hole on him.
Yeah, I mean, he could help his own case by not passing when the goalie's out. Right? Like, he could have another one if he didn't pass to Puljujarvi.
Well, so he's got no hat tricks this year, which is funny considering how many multi-goal games he's had, even against the Coyotes the other night. You know Connor wanted to find him.
Connor was pissed. Connor was angry they couldn't get the puck to him.
He's just like, why didn't I find him?
And then I think like Leon like gave up at the blue line. It's like, whatever, just score the damn goal. I don't give a shit. Just score the goal.
Yeah, you're right.
And
he Connor could have two more.
Yeah, Connor like shrugged his like shoulders shrunk as he put the puck in the net.
And that's why you have to say that it's possible because he's got Connor McDavid looking for him on every opportunity.
Especially if they start getting there at 35 to 40.
Yep.
I guarantee you Connor goes out there every game trying to get him at least one fucking
goal. It's just like last year when Connor was shooting for 100 points in the 56-game season. You know when he was getting 97, 98, 99, every puck was going to him. And I imagine it'll be the same thing with Leon.
And the thing is, too, is that like even if Draisaitl cools off for like 4 or 5 games and goes goalless, like he can score 2 or 3 goals in a night like at will. Yeah. So the ability for him to
crazy,
make up for that.
That's crazy to think him
insane.
Going 4 games without a goal right now.
Well, and also you have to think that at some point Draisaitl's personality is also going to come into it, right? Because he starts to look for passes and he starts to look for teammates because he's not, I don't know, at least he doesn't appear
they want to
be
win
like a
first.
Cerebral assassin.
They want to win first. He won't worry about hooking everybody else up until they're up by two or three.
The only thing, since Rick brought that up, the thing that I do think stands in the way of Leon getting to these lofty marks is the things that he keeps saying after games. I don't care about the individual stats. We want to win. I'm not here for that. Connor's not here for that. Blah, blah, blah. And while I'm sure it's probably nice if he gets some of those marks, I honestly don't think that's the biggest thing on his mind right now.
They don't care. It's hilarious. Like, I listen to every post-game press conference, right? And I put it all out on Twitter. And they get asked about shit like this all the time. At least on a weekly basis, somebody asks them after a game, like, hey, what's it like to, like, do this or do this stupid stat. And they're just like, both of them are just like, they couldn't give a shit.
They care. Really, well, they care. These things are so, they will never, ever tell anybody in front of a camera.
But even when Drysdale scores, he acts like he doesn't give a shit right now.
Well, it doesn't hilarious. At all. Like, he had the celebration on, like, I don't know if it, which goal it was against Arizona, where he just literally, like, just, like, stood there after, like,
just shrugs his shoulders.
Like, yeah, whatever. Like, another day in the office.
This is
like,
what I do
imagine,
now.
Could you imagine being that confident in, like, a skill set that you have that you just shrug it
imagine
off?
Imagine
like
what
that,
those like, guys' nothing. Conversation is, though. When they get away from everybody, and they're in some weird little fortress or nobody can hear anything,
McDavid's
and they just start sitting there talking.
Yeah,
they're
McDavid's
sitting in, they're sitting in his damn elevator, so nobody can hear him, and they're just, like... We're pretty fucking good, aren't we?
I would love to. 100%. I would love to be fly on the wall, like McDavid, Drysdale having a nation beer in McDavid's hot tub, and just being like, "Do they have moments where they're like, we're so fucking good, man?
Come on, of course they do. They have to, right? Of course they do."
It's on our social media today. Wayne Gretzky was talking about having lunch or dinner with the big three: Nurse, Drysdale, and Connor, and said that it just sounds like the four of him, coffee.
Curry
low and Messier, are all just shooting the shit about how amazing it is and how easy it is. Like, it's, I don't know, we keep getting these moments where it's like, hey, everybody, pay attention. This is the dynasty. Like, this is the skill and this is the level that we're seeing and we can expect for a couple more years.
Just
these,
as Dan
these
brought
are the good old days.
They really are. You guys, Zach wrote about it. Dan's been tweeting about it. They are just, and I mean, Tyler's been saying this for years now. Appreciate what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because these two are freaks.
Man, like, just think of being a fan of any other team in the league and, like, so not getting to watch this every night. Like, come on.
Or being upset when you do watch it. Like, yeah. Oh, I hate that.
It's a funny thing where you look at, like, the Flames right now. The Flames are on, I mean, OTLs, like, whatever. But they're first Pacific Division right now. But they're still so much in their own heads about the Oilers because they know there's a good chance when they play them next, Connor and Leon are going to make them look foolish. And that's going to be that way every single time. So since Dan brought it up, Wayne Gretzky, here's the quote. We do have it up on socials. And he said, I went for lunch with Drysdale, McDavid, and Nurse. It reminded me so much of me, Lowe, Messier, and Coffee having lunch together. I remember I left lunch and I said to my wife, you know what? This team is so much closer to winning than people understand because these guys are so close. And that's fun, man. When you get to do something with your boys, you get to do something with your buddies, and make a difference on the team, on the ice. How can you not get excited about it?
I have a hypothetical for the group.
Go ahead.
Which table would you rather be a fly on the wall of? Lowe, Messier, and the boys, or Leon, Connor, and the boys?
Well, what I would say is back in the day, they probably had more interesting lunches. The pre-social media area lunches and before the fitness coach lunches.
The 80s lunches.
Yeah, I imagine there was a 3-4 cocktail lunch. So that one would probably be more interesting just in my personal lifestyle. But of course, I'm an Oilers fan now. So Tyler asked the question on social media, getting back to our delicious debate here. So let's see. We got a couple of answers coming in. The Mad Hatter, he thinks 53 goals. Shroom Sauce saying 70. Why not? RC says, the funny thing is Leon doesn't even care. We just want a playoff run, which I tend to agree with. Mm-hmm. Harold also adds, as many as it needs to ensure the Oilers go deep into the playoffs. Very unselfishly not worried about himself, only the success of the team. So a lot of people around here are picking up on the things he's saying in the post game as well. Grant Johnson from Cruz, he's just going $1. He's going $1. We're seeing the Price is Right rules that are going on. He's going with a low bid of $1. And then again, Chad makes a comment here. He goes, after the way you guys lowballed Connor McDavid last year, I don't trust any of you. And he's 100% right.
Good point.
Hey. Don't know how we did
that. Oh, that's Greg. Shout out to Greg. I miss you, Greg. Where have you been?
What the hell
I was
Greg?
Talking about
Dan,
you?
Dan's got to get the
five points away.
Yeah, Dan's got to get the tire pump on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Even
thank
though
you,
I still think you picked that number just to be fucking funny or something.
Well, I always pick stuff to drive conversation, but I try
no
to
way
keep
you do that, and obviously he does
Nico Koskinen told me I could.
If you got a take on how many goals Draisaitl is going to finish the year with, please hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram. We want to know. We want to hear from you. And I'll keep checking in as we record this podcast. It's Friday at 2:40.
Great name of the podcast, by the way, Bag Milk. I just saw it on your screen.
Yeah, Leon Draisaitl is a warlord. That's already what I'm calling him.
I love it.
He is.
Okay.
Do you want to go up against him? No, you don't. You just don't.
Leon Draisaitl is the best German hockey player ever.
Ever.
Like, ever. Like, isn't that crazy? He's 24?
No offense to Yui Krupp. But
just I'm sure Marcel Gotch is a nice guy. But
Jochen Hesch.
Draisaitl was asked after a game a couple of nights ago about like the 50 and 50 thing, right? And one Edmonton media member who will remain nameless asked him, you know, like, hey, what was it like growing up in Germany? You know, did you ever hear about the 50 and 50? Like that sort of a thing, right? And like Draisaitl just deadpan was like, I did not watch the NHL growing up. there was zero exposure to it. And you could just tell Draisaitl's like, what the hell kind of a question was that? Like,
I love Leon Draisaitl's interviews. Of all the people on this team, he's the only one that's ever going to say anything interesting. If you ask Nuge that same question about Leon, he'll give you one of the many cliches that he's got in his pocket that he's had since he's played here for a decade.
Yeah, those
if you ask
are...
Connor the same question, he's going to pull out one of those things that he always says.
Media training.
And you ask Leon, he's just as likely to be like, shit. What the fuck are you talking about?
Leon and Jesse.
He gives him that look. Jesse. Oh, yes, it's too nice.
But yeah.
Leon gives him that look. And then, like, a you're an idiot type of answer. They're fantastic.
You ask any other player on the team, you get, obviously what Connor and what Leon do is really special, and we're really lucky to have those two guys on our team. But, you know, the emphasis on us is it's on winning hockey games, and we got to be good around them. And you know, they're not always going to be able to do that, so we need to be better as a group if we want to keep getting wins. 110%. Keep giving 110%.
Get pucks in deep, you know.
Close your eyes, and you don't know which Oiler that was.
Make smart plays with the puck, you know, just support down low, the whole thing. Anyway, again, hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram. I want to know your guesses for Leon Draisaitl. Okay? Good. Yeah. Good.
It's in the 60s.
We're going to see, right? Like, we're going to absolutely see. It's fantastic to think, because I wouldn't have guessed 20 and 19. Even the start is ridiculous. Yeah. It's absurd.
I really hope he just scores 69 goals on the year.
Nice.
Do you remember?
It'll just be incredible.
That power play when McDavid was at 99 points last year against Vancouver, and he just circled the zone trying to find Draisaitl because he was like, this is the best chance to get 100 right here. What will a power play look like with Draisaitl at like 59 goals? Or if there are
49 goals in 49 games.
Yeah, like what's that 50th game like if Draisaitl's out there looking for 50 and 50? Like, is Connor McDavid passing to anyone else on the team?
It's two players and three pylons.
So yeah. Here's what I also think that could happen, though, is if that situation happens on the power play, the opposition just loads up Leon's side, and then you've got a guy like Nuge on the other side that's got fucking time to make a sandwich.
And available. He's still trying to make the pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Still finds, yeah,
and Leon still will still somehow score a goal.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of scoring, why don't you score yourself something to eat with our friends at DoorDash? Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Use the promo code OODLE2021 on your orders of $30 or more. You'll get $7 off. That's how we tie together DoorDash and our friends at Oodle Noodle with Delicious Debate. I want to stick with Leon Draisaitl a little bit because Tyler Zegras was on Spit and Chicklets this week, and he actually had a really funny story about Leon Draisaitl. I know Tyler has got the clip. What we don't know yet is whether or not his phone is speaking to the board. We'll see.
Into this year, and we started, and I never start anymore. It's usually Getzy's line who usually gets a start, and they circled McDavid's line. So a couple of the boys were, because they all knew the O'Reilly thing, so they asked me. They were like, "Dude, you got to do it with McDavid." And I was like, "Sure, like absolutely, like I'd love to do it with McDavid." And I get out there, and Draisaitl's taking it, and I lean into him. I was like, "Dude, $100, like first draw." And he looks at me. He goes, "Can you even fucking afford $100, you rookie?" I was like, "Dude, I was like, come on." I was like, "I can't. That's why I need to win this draw."
So the thing I want to touch on with that is Leon Draisaitl, unquestionably elite in terms of skill, finish, passing, all that.
The end of that, though, the end of that is the best part, because then he's like, and yeah, he just stepped up and he like snapped it backwards before I can get my stick down. Like, he took it seriously. Yeah. I love that about him.
Fuck this kid.
The thing is, it's just like, the trash talking from Leon Draisaitl is what I want to dig in on, because not only do I love that he chirps the bench, I love when he skates by the other bench after a goal and he's fucking looking at him and pointing at him and stuff. But do you remember a player in Edmonton where not only are they a trash talker, but they've got the skill to back it up? Yep. Like, he is writing the check and he's fucking cashing it at the same time.
Jason Arnott.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Jones had a couple 18 goal seasons.
Hell yeah. He had the hell of a flow too. Ryan Jones.
It's on. Hilarious. I mean, like, you can go back a couple of years though to that 50 goal season when, like you said, Draisaitl would score a goal and skate by the other team's bench on his flyby and always throw them a little something. And then thing against the Rangers, like, that's what makes Draisaitl lovable. And I think there's an interesting bond almost between Oilers fans and Draisaitl, because, I mean, you have the whole fucking phenomenal thing, yep. right? And that's one of them. And he's interesting in the media. He tells you what's on his mind. He's not as robotic as Connor is. And I think outside the Edmonton market, obviously McDavid gets all this love, right? And Draisaitl's almost the forgotten one, in the sense that a lot of people still, even now, still just sit there and go, he's doing it because he plays with McDavid. Yeah, I'd love to see him do it without McDavid. And I think that almost that combined with his personality makes him, in a weird way, like, more loved, or loved in a different way than Connor by Oilers fans.
Well, I want to touch on then, since you brought it up, I want to touch on a mailbag question from last week. Does Tyler get enough love outside of Edmonton? First of all, no.
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 Does Leon Draisaitl get enough love outside of Edmonton? No. I'm going to say no.
No.
Of course not.
I mean, the guy's a fucking Hart Trophy, and you never hear about it.
Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's kind of a weird thing, because I don't know if it's so much as, like, everybody else in the league is just like, oh, yeah, he's really good, and we know he's really good, mm-hmm. or, like, what the case is. Like, it almost seems like willful ignorance on behalf of so many outside of this market to, like, really appreciate exactly what is going on there.
Didn't Pittsburgh push Sid and Gino as a, like, a duo, as a Sid and Gino type of thing, a lot more than what you're seeing out here?
Could you imagine a show following Connor and Leon around?
Not really, like, outside of
something
Pittsburgh.
Like that. Like, that would be hilarious.
Yeah. I think.
I feel like they were always pushed as, like, a Sid and Gino. It was
we
like,
call them the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that.
I feel like it was more Ovechkin and Crosby.
Well, no, but they were on the same team, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that these guys were on the same team, and you really don't hear Leon's name. Though I'd have to say, I think Leon's projecting better than Gino did.
I think
that's American media, though, for you, too, right? Because, of course, they're going to gravitate to the biggest stars that are south of the border.
Well,
like it's Edmonton. It's like a
but the dude is
how they view it down.
It's almost not even an argument anymore. The dude is the second best player in the league.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I mean, you look at it from outside of our city, right? Because of course we have a hyper focus, and so we're down to, you know, the bottom six kind of conversation. Whereas outside of this city, they just kind of scan around the league, and they're going to just look at the top story out of every thing.
Yeah, but you're going to expect ESPN and all these guys that are just coming into this to be a lot better at that, especially seeing how someone like Spittin' Chiclets, who these guys who are, I guess, they are wherever you think they are in terms of, like, relevance and whatnot, all they do is talk about the Oilers. All they do is talk about, you know, Agreed. Leon and Connor. But so, I mean, even that way, they got to, like, they keep saying Leon. We better figure out who they get.
It wasn't like Tampa Bay was talked about, and it was always Kucherov and Stamkos and Vasilevsky.
But they're not the same level as Connor and Leon. Those two are never the two best players in the world.
I think you made your own point there. Connor McDavid is just that much better that everybody wants to talk about him all the time. And it's not a slight against Leon Draisaitl. It's just that he gets the third byline.
I'll tell you this right now. Those two are a lot closer in talent and level of whatever than I assumed they were, say, this time last year.
Of course.
I think it's interesting, too, because you look at Leon Draisaitl now. Again, Dan said the title that I'm calling this one. Leon Draisaitl's a warlord. When he was drafted, I never saw this shit coming.
Thank you.
Do you remember what everybody said when he signed that contract?
Yeah, they still say, like, it's
too much.
Do you remember
how much
too big a contract
ripped the Oilers for that
it
contract?
It might be the best contract in the league right now.
I was just going to say, the only other contract that I think would even be
Nate McKinnon.
Close
Nate
was Mac, Nate McKinnon.
Yeah. I guess Pasta's down there too.
Yeah, yeah, but Pasta's even at that, like, none of them are scoring, putting up points the way Draisaitl.
Like, if you were building a team, right? And you couldn't take McDavid right now, and you're taking contracts into consideration. Who?
Leon all day.
Leon. It's not even a question, right? He's got the best value contract in the league based on what he puts out for how much he gets paid. He deserves to be making as much money as Connor does right now. Full stop. And Connor deserves to be making like $20 million a year.
Oh, so you guys,
What if they're listening? What if their agents are listening?
Yeah, sorry, they're definitely listening.
We're screwed in 5 years.
But you guys are all saying that you would take Leon Draisaitl at his contract over Connor McDavid?
Oh, I said take McDavid out of it.
Yeah, McDavid's off the list. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Like, are you taking Leon at 8.5 or fucking Mitch Marner at 11?
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? It's
Mitch
not
Marner's
close.
Very far down that
well,
list.
I think it's just Nate MacKinnon is the comparable right now.
I think Past is up there.
Yeah, Past is up because Past signed his seven for like less than five, didn't he?
But that's yeah. I guess when I play those exercises, I think of what they have left in there. In their contract, right? Like where they're going forward.
Yeah, like if you factor that in, it's Draisaitl easily because Nate Mac needs a new deal now.
Yep.
And what does Draisaitl have left? He's got like
four years left.
Four more years.
But you gotta think like, though, when year five comes in, is like, but the, I'm a by that ball point, of well, baby. So,
but the cap's gonna be way up by then. He's gonna have gonna have two rings on his hand by then. So it's gonna be hard to leave.
When I put out the tweet during the game the other night, where I said the fact that we have Connor McDavid means that we can have Leon Draisaitl forever, blah blah blah. All the responses, a few of the responses, were just he's gone in 4 years. And I don't think that's true.
That's just the classic anti-Edmonton troll.
Yeah, it's of course.
It's like,
but everybody had
everybody
an Oilers
else.
Logo for their avatar.
I think that's funny. The funny thing to me is everybody always talks about Connor wants out. Connor's going to want out. Nobody ever says that about Leon ever.
Yeah, because it's just a jealousy thing.
Of course,
nobody says it because they actually think he's going to leave. Yeah.
Between the two, though, I do think Leon would maybe be the one that does go, right? I could see that narrative creeping in by year four.
If you think that,
almost
like,
more so if they were to win one or two, it would be like, Leon kind of wants to do his own thing.
But it's after, like, what happens if they
Kobe
win?
And Shaq, you know what I mean? Can he do it without Shaq?
Yeah, but isn't that a situation where Wayne Gretzky comes in and says, listen, if I hadn't broken up the band, we would have had
he
another
didn't break
four.
Up the
he
band.
He did, but yeah, no, he I, would wow. say yes. He would if say he yes if we didn't. I suggest you guys stick around. What if they win in year four? It's a hell of a lot harder to leave after a victory than, say, if you lost.
So you heard it here first. Rick would like us to wait.
I didn't say it has to be their first one in year four, but they just win one in year four. I said two.
It's true. It's tougher to walk away when you
I don't. Actually, I regret even bringing this up now because we shouldn't be having this talk.
Everybody,
I don't know how we even got here.
Send your hate mail to Tyler@OilersNation.com if you're upset about this conversation.
Because he's trying to avoid the conversation.
Yes, avoid the grind, avoid the conversation.
I'm Tyler not even sure if I'm the one that led us down this path, but I just wanted to end it.
No, I was trying to say that.
How did we get here?
I was trying to say that Leo Draisaitl isn't appreciated enough outside of Edmonton.
Yep.
How we got here, I don't know.
Because we're saying that he's appreciated by other teams and he's going to be tried to be taken from us.
So we're going to change gears.
You traded him. What could you get?
There we go. We
did it. No, Tyler.
Starts with two first.
Tyler@OilersNation.com. I want to look back on the week because the Oilers got more bad news on their back end. Duncan Keith went down. So in a matter of a week... Week plus, let's say.
We know nothing right now, right?
Lower body. I mean, I saw the clip.
You guys have your ears to the ground in town here. What do you guys know?
Well, they've said it's day-to-day upper body.
Yeah.
What I know is that I saw...
doing his own research on the injury.
Mike Smith was day-to-day, too.
What I saw was the clip Zach put out of Duncan Keith getting hurt, and that is an old man injury if I've ever fucking seen one. That is him whipping a puck across the ice and hurting his back or something somehow. As somebody who hurt his back, threw it out, getting out of the shower, I get it. That's your late 30s, baby. But at this point, man, no. Bad. And even worse, he's pretending he didn't even know about the injury.
Yeah, but have you used infrared technology on that thing?
Anyway, bad news on the left side.
Yeah.
Nurse out, Keith out, Cuckoo out. Last game against the Coyotes, based on usage and minutes, we had a Russell Berry first pairing.
Hell yeah.
Not ideal. Tyler, what's happening with our defense? Like, this can't go on long.
Well, yeah, because guys eventually got to get back in the lineup here. The good news is, like, you know, Darnell Nurse doesn't have like a torn ECL, right? Like he's coming back.
He's got a broken fingy.
Yeah, he's coming back before Christmas, I think is the general understanding here, right?
Yeah.
So it's not long-term. That is good. They're still winning games and banking points. That's good. They're going to survive. And the point I made today during a radio hit was maybe in a weird way.
Who are you doing radio for?
Just here in the city.
Did you do Low Tide?
No, I do Low Tide on Tuesdays.
Oh, nice.
He always starts by going, I don't know, how are those big feet doing? And it's like, God damn it, Low Tide. Anyways, the weird way that this could be a blessing in disguise is, I mean, Broberg wouldn't have gotten a shot this year if there weren't injuries to Nurse specifically. Because I think if it was Nurse still here, they wouldn't have brought up
Broberg. Well, we talked about it on the B-cast after the game when... actually, Cuckoo went down. So I asked you on the B-cast, do you think Broberg is getting the pull? And you said no, probably William Lagesson, who, as it turns out, he's up anyway.
Yeah.
Because it was probably a better fit. But now Nurse is down. So let's just talk about Broberg here for a sec. Tyler, I'm going to start with you. Three games in, quiet, and I say that as probably a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet through three games.
Quiet. I mean, he made the bad read against Arizona on the 2-on-1. But that's something I mean, with a player as skilled and you'd assume as intelligent as Broberg, like that's an easy fix, right? Yep. Don't get over aggressive.
Yep.
Other than that, though, he's been good. You haven't noticed him. Like you said, that's a compliment. There's been a few times where he has jumped up into the play and in down low in the offensive zone, and I feel like he moves pretty well. There's a lot to like about Philip Broberg. I think when he was on the ice against the Coyotes, the Oilers outshot them like 12-6 or something like that. Like, that's good. That shows me that you're not spending a lot of time in your own zone. You're moving the puck in a positive direction, and you're helping your team get scoring chances. So, again, when everyone's healthy, and I don't want to jump the gun here, because I said this last year with Bouchard after a few games. I said last year Bouchard shouldn't come out of the lineup. He ended up coming out of the lineup for pretty much the rest of the season. But with Broberg, like, I would play him over Cuckoo or Russell. There's upside there, and you got to like that upside. 100%.
Especially when he's hidden behind Keith and Nurse.
Yeah, like that's when that pairing could get really interesting, is when he's hidden a little bit.
Zach, what are your first impressions for Philip Broberg?
It's actually kind of calming, to be honest with you, because I think there was a lot made about the selection of Philip Broberg in the first place. Obviously, there was guys like, you know, Trevor Zegras and some other highly skilled offensive players that were taken, you know, shortly behind Broberg. So, you know, obviously you're seeing what Zegras is doing down in Anaheim this year, and he looks like a great electric player. So to see Broberg kind of step in as a rookie in his first three or four games and look very good has been great to see. It's exactly what this team needs. I think it's going to be hard to take him out of the lineup, even when everybody else comes back healthy. I mean, look, let's try not to overreact too much to, you know, three NHL games, but it's like the same argument I think can be made about Stuart Skinner. You know, like how do the Oilers send him back down to the American League? And how do they justify that after, you know, seeing him come in and produce? And, you know, obviously Broberg is going to get a lot more time and a lot more chances. And, you know, things could just as easily fall off in his game as a rookie. And those struggles could be more apparent. But, you know, he plays a quiet, calm game. And that's exactly what you want from any defenseman, let alone somebody who's playing in his, like, fourth NHL game, right? So I think there's a lot to like about Broberg here so far.
Looking at his minutes so far, game one against Chicago, 14.5. Game two against Dallas, 19. Game three against Arizona, 21-29. So he's already increasing in minutes. Rick, what are you seeing from Philip Broberg?
Exactly what you guys are talking about. Just a calm defenseman who seems to be ready for the next steps in the NHL. It's the progression of his career. And I do think that if we get Keith back, you know, before Cuckoo, he's going to outplay Russell. We're going to get to see that opportunity of seeing those three guys run the left side. And I do think that it'll be really tough to send him back. I think it's a little bit easier to send Skinner back just because you have two goalies and whatever there. But I do see Broberg kind of keeps playing like this, man. He's going to finish the season here. I'm enjoying watching everybody on Twitter who was bashing Broberg because Caulfield started off so hot.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, our draft pick, Broberg, was terrible.
Of course, they read
something by some Swedish guy last year who said Broberg got, you know, benched or something like that, got replaced by somebody else in the playoffs last year. And now look what we have here. We have a guy who's exactly where we want him to be. You know, he actually might be ahead of schedule even.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably a little bit ahead of schedule, probably from where he was in the plans, especially with a guy like Ken Holland as the general manager. But that said,
he's proving ready.
If so he far. Can come in and say, push Cuckoo out of the lineup, and he gives you, I don't know, 15 solid minutes on your third pairing towards the end of the season, I think that's a win, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
Well, here's the question then, because we were talking a couple weeks ago, and Tyler, I think that was you. The question was, if we make a move at the deadline, what do you go after? And your answer was, you know, a
2LD.
Yeah, 2LD or 2RD, whatever. You prefer to move Duncan Keith back a bit.
Yeah.
If you keep seeing the same thing out of Broberg we're seeing right now, does that change your opinion in that trade?
I mean, the Skinner-Broberg thing certainly starts to get me thinking.
We're going to talk about Skinner right after.
Yeah, I'd want to see, you know, and the trade deadline's a long ways away, so you have the luxury. But, you know, if Broberg keeps this level of play up for 2 months, then I think you kind of sit there and you go, okay, maybe our LD.
Ricard Raquel?
Look at that smile.
You start to go, you know, our LD looks pretty good. If Skinner keeps doing what he's doing, you go, okay, Smith, Skinner, we don't hate that. And then you go, okay, how do we make this team better? And all of a sudden, it's not defense, it's not goaltending. It's an impact right winger.
Wow. Wow.
I think that...
There's one in Anaheim, by the way, that might be on the trade block.
Never heard of him.
I think that having Broberg come in this early, draft plus three, by the way, and play some really quiet minutes for this team on defense would be a big win. Kez, he is a big guy. He can skate. He's got a little bit of offensive instincts. And not to mention, we haven't mentioned it once, The All Abs team has got a champion in Broberg. We lost Clefbaum. That's heartbreaking. We lost Larson. Devastating. The All Abs team needed a champion, and Broberg could be that guy. Dan, I'm going to end off the Broberg chat just with your first impression.
Yeah, for me, it's been, and it's the same conversation with Skinner that we'll have here in a minute. It's been composure, and it's been the fact that he just, like, these kids look comfortable in their spot. Whereas in the past, with this team, when you see a rookie slotted into that lineup, and we saw a lot of it on Twitter the other night too, you know, when they see the defensive pairings put together, people are a little bit hesitant. But when you see Broberg out on the ice, he doesn't look out of place. He looks comfortable. He looks like he's ready for that spot.
The last thing I'll say about Broberg, though, is you look at the teams he's played against, Chicago, Dallas, Arizona. Chicago and Arizona are fucking terrible. So I'm going to be very interested to see how he performs tomorrow against Las Vegas.
Think he gets a start?
Broberg?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were still talking Skinner. I was making graphics. I'm out.
This guy is not paying attention. He's producing the podcast. What are you looking at over there, by the way, on your laptop?
Just getting clips ready for the show. Promote the pod.
The next time he stops talking, he's going to hit the cold button. Yep. Oh, sorry, guys. We're on the cold button. My bad.
We have been hoodwinked.
Oh, sorry.
I got to tell you guys about my friends at Cornerstone Insurance. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee-owned business here at Edmonton with all of the insurance products you could ever hope for. Anything you need, Zach. Anything you need. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, they've got you covered. And if you click on the Citizens of the Nation button on the left-hand side of your screen, you'll get yourself a discount.
I'm going to insure my air fryer.
You should.
Great move.
It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. Welcome to the family, by the way.
Thank you. I love it. It's tremendous. I've literally air fried pretty much every meal I've eaten in the last couple of weeks.
Nice. Kind of have to. That's where I'm at. I had a delicious air fryer breakfast this morning.
Go on, tell me more.
Pizza Pops, do you go thawed or do you go right from frozen?
I go right from frozen.
Right from frozen. Why are you thawing it?
People thaw their pizza pops.
Well, sometimes you just leave them in the fridge, right?
Yeah.
If you're thinking of it. Really? You could.
I've done that before. Oh, it was fair. By accident.
I mean, if you're going to eat them quick, I guess.
Because I'll tell you this, in the oven's pretty good. It just takes forever.
It's the weight. Yeah. Yeah. So it really depends on where you're at in your life and your day.
I tend to think ahead of these things too.
Yeah. Can you do the 20-minute wait for a pizza pop in the oven or the air fryer? All of a sudden you got good living there.
I got the bigger air fryer. Like, I don't have the basket one. So it's also got like...
Yeah, you got the
it's like a little mini oven.
Yeah.
I can bake things. I can dehydrate things. It's awesome. Like, it's tremendous. So I've been doing all my cooking in there. You can even do toast in there.
The only downfall though is because Bag Milk was telling us is you gotta air fry your leftover oodle noodle.
You can't
because you've got the grates in there.
Well, you just have to get an oven.
You got an insert.
Oven safe dish, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oven safe dish. Throw that bad boy in there. Flipper on.
I will send you, Zach, my breakfast that I do in the air fryer every day. Mm-hmm. It's a game changer. I just pop it in there, go do something for 9 minutes, maybe a quick shower, come out, I got breakfast ready. It's delicious.
9 minutes is a quick shower?
Well, like, I get it, get in the shower, dry off. Like, fair enough. I don't know. What kind of military showers are you having over there?
Shower shaming Bag Milk?
I move quick.
I take a long shower.
Is this because you're like, was your dad big on this?
No,
like
actually.
Fucking 5 minute showers. 5 minutes. Get in and get out.
I am a 3 minute shower guy because I was rushed. Yeah.
Yeah. As a kid, right? Yeah.
What's the process? Like, walk me through it.
You get in.
Yeah.
You wet your hair and you lather up and then
hose yourself down.
So you're pretty much the Jay Downton $3 car wash.
Oh, yeah. I got my shampoo ready to go. I got two pumps of shampoo and two pumps of body wash.
See, I got these luscious locks. So yeah, it can take a while, right? That's like fair. I have to let my shampoo sit a little bit. I have to color condition my hair. You know, I got to make sure it's nice and dry when I get out of the shower. It's a fucking process sometimes.
Okay, but see, these are the questions we should be asking in the Oilers press conferences after the game. I'm just saying.
I want to know shower process.
I want to know their shower process.
It's important stuff. You really have to ask the question.
Because I too
not
have...
Not a lot of them have long hair either. So you can imagine that a lot of them are on that shorter...
In and out.
3 minutes.
See, I don't have I have luscious locks, not as long as Zach's, but I'm just, you know what? I just like to enjoy myself in there.
Sometimes I will. I'll go in and like, especially if it's like a, let's say it's like a Friday or Saturday night, you're going out. I like to grab a beer. I bring my phone in there with me. I sit on TikTok for like 10 minutes and I just sit there with the water going over my body.
I've got a question about, do you like... You just going in there raw? You got it in a bag? What do you got?
Like, just bring your phone in.
They're all waterproof nowadays.
All right, good for you.
See, this is the... I saw something funny enough about this. Like the older people here are probably in the group that are still like, holy shit, we have to take care of our phones and make sure it never touches water or anything like that.
Oh, man.
And then nowadays, the phones are like fucking like waterproof. They can handle that shit.
No problem.
All you have to do is drop your phone in water one time and have to leave it sitting in rice over the weekend to like, that'll that'll just really rattle you.
I'm pretty sure I actually have an old iPod that's been sitting in rice for like 10 years now.
You just keep scooping rice off the top. You forgot it's near the bottom.
I think I threw it in there, forgot about it, got a new one for Christmas or some shit. And
wow.
It's a Nokia flip phone.
But like to Tyler's point, tomorrow, Nation Viewing Party, which I want to check in on in a little bit.
Your Romperchuk.
Your Romperchuk's coming out, but I guarantee that is a 2-beer shower for me tomorrow.
Yeah, I see. And I like when it's in the morning and it's like, all right, I got work to do. It's just like, let's get in, let's get out, let's move on with our day. But when I like have time and I'm not rushed, yeah, bring a beer in there, bring your phone.
Hold on. Are there any bath boys in the room like Connor McDavid?
Ooh. Love a good bath.
Good question. I love a good bath too.
I wish my tub was bigger.
I'm out. And the only reason is you can't get the whole goddamn body in the tub.
Well, that is true.
That's the only reason. Amen.
It's tough.
But I mean, like, there's no way Tyler can get it. Otherwise, if you're sitting in there, like, your legs stretched out. Then the water's up to like your ribs or something. It's cold.
Yeah.
That's
cold.
Not comfortable.
I love a good hot tub.
Get me a deep one that I can fucking fit in.
What we're saying is for our generations, we need to create a new type of bathtub.
I just need a deep tub.
Like one of the chambers McDavid has, where you just like insert your whole body and just your head sits out of it.
I dig it.
I also need to have bubbles like in my house, which I don't regularly have because I'm not interested in sitting there watching my nuts float around. So if I'm getting in the tub.
Save that, please.
I need to make sure that it is a whole scene.
What we need to invest in is one of those like really old person tubs that
with a door,
like, the swinging door that are super deep. Because then you don't have to step up over to get 100% into the tub.
You have to let that thing drain before you get out.
That's such a weird process.
And gross, because that's going to bring out the whole Kramer issue.
You have to wait for it to load up too. You're sitting there.
No, you can get it. No, you can get. Yeah, you get it in there.
And we got to go line change mode and just go like leg over it.
And we got to worry about just like we're all adults. We all have to pay our utility bills. Like if we're talking about a big deep tub, that's a lot of water in there.
Condo, no worry about water bills over here.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I turn the shower on, just let it run for a couple hours, just keep the place warm. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes I'll just give her for like 2 days, just let the water go.
Why not?
So when it got when it got really cold here in Edmonton and it got super dry instantly.
Oh yeah.
I definitely let my shower run with the door open on
try and get some humidity in there, baby.
Oh man,
it was terrible.
That's smart.
I got my fucking humidifier running at Jakarta levels right now because it is just insane dry in my house. Unbelievable.
I've been sitting here scratching my back the whole podcast because I'm so itchy. My whole skin's
dry. You need to get one of those moisturizers.
Lotion, buddy.
Yeah,
this is an interesting podcast.
Yeah, we took a turn here.
He's offering into this, too.
You guys gave me a beer. You took the edge off. We could talk about fucking anything. I don't care.
Just since we're talking about it, I'm going to ask you guys that are listening. I want to know about your shower routine. What is you doing in there? Are you bringing a beer in there? Are you bringing a White Claw in there? Are you just going in like Dan and you're all business and you're in and out in 3 minutes?
Dan showers in a suit.
You just hear your dad yelling at you in your head in the whole time?
Absolutely, I do.
Or are you like me and you just, hey, man, if I'm in there 20 minutes, I'm in there 20 minutes.
Damn straight.
We'll see what happens. I will empty that fucking water tank. Don't you think I won't? All right.
How much is your water bill? Like, this is. I don't remember last time I had a water
bill. The problem I have with water bills is the water itself isn't the problem. The fucking distribution fee is where they get you. I know we've got a campaign with Epcor coming up. Maybe I'll ask him about that distribution fee before we get going on it. Anyway, I digress. We're going to move on. But again, I want to know about your shower routine. I want to know what you're using. Are you a loofah person? Are you a rag person? I personally have a loofah.
There's no rag people anymore, isn't that? I thought that stopped in the 80s.
Yeah, people don't do that, right?
Like a bar of soap under the washcloth?
Hey, I don't use a rag, but there might be somebody listening to this that's still...
I want
to
know.
My hey, Lord.
Rick, you have to understand, as a person that downloads full albums off of iTunes,
that still, yeah. That's a great point.
That some people like to live in their own little niches, right?
I'm a loofah guy.
Don't know any better, but the loofah thing, you saw. I mean, it was on a... Oh, there's a movie. It's a baseball movie. Kevin Costner is in. He cuts his finger off almost.
Moneyball.
Nope, not Moneyball. Way before Moneyball. Kevin Costner's in it, by the way.
Field of Dreams?
No, before that. I can't remember what it is.
Bull Durham?
It might be Bull Durham, but I can't remember. He's a pitcher. He cuts his finger.
Yeah, Bull Durham.
And then, yeah. Anyways, that's where I heard about loofahs, I think.
To me, I'm a loofah guy. I like to lather. And I'll volunteer this.
Exfoliates, though.
100%. I like to exfoliate. I make sure my skin's soft. I will also volunteer this, Tyler. Mm. I use in the shower women's body wash. First of all, I like the smell.
Smartest thing you've ever done.
I like the smell. Mm-hmm. Two, makes my skin feel nice.
Do you not use the conditioner too?
Of course I use the conditioner.
Like, yeah.
What are we talking
about?
Ladies
version. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. That's
fair. They know what they're doing.
I got a shampoo and the smell is menthol and caffeine.
Yeah, I know those.
It's just like cigarettes and coffee over at your house?
More or less.
It smells like, man.
You're like, why do I need caffeine in this?
It makes no sense.
No.
But anyways, I got it. It was on sale.
Wait, and you guys don't pour your coffees on your forehead? What?
Bring two coffees into the shower. One to drink, one to pour on top of my head as shampoo.
I had a coffee at Bailey's in my shower the other day.
I went and got the Costco-sized jug of Bailey's yesterday on my day off. Because I was like, you know what? It's about that time now. You wake up in the morning, you
have Bailey's. Of course.
Should probably have one in here, by the way.
100%.
Bailey's dispenser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the liquor dispensers in Mexico hotels.
We need those.
If Tyler's not going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Dan's gotten off track. All right. Dan, you've gotten us off track here.
Yes.
Let's get back to it. Tomorrow, Edmonton Oilers playing against the Vegas Golden Knights. Early in the season, Vegas, slow start to the year. Over the last month or so, they've really turned things around. 7-3 in their last 10. This is now a team that... they're sitting in third place as of today, Friday, in the Pacific Division. What are you expecting from the Vegas Golden Knights? I don't think this is going to be the same game as round one when Oilers won the first matchup of the season. Oilers banged up. Vegas playing well. Tyler, what are you expecting from this one?
Vegas is getting healthy as well. So, I mean, last time these two teams met, it was the opposite, right? It was Vegas was banged up. They had a bunch of key guys out of the lineup. And Edmonton was fully healthy. And now this is a team that has Pacioretty and Stone back in the lineup. Their blue line, everyone's still there. They're missing Alec Martinez. But aside from that, Petrangelo, Theodore, Whitecloud, all the other big pieces are there. Robin Leonard's playing fine. This is a really good hockey team, and they're starting to string together some wins, and I expect them to be, you know, making a push for that top spot in the division by the end of the season. I'm just looking here. They're 7-3 in their last 10. So, Vegas is playing really well, but I think if you're the Oilers, you just need to focus on, you know, again, like it will be for every game this year. If you bring your A game, you'll beat most teams, and maybe tomorrow that won't be enough because Vegas is a good team as well, but if I'm Edmonton, it's just... bring your A game, and you'll have a chance to win in hell. If you win this one, and you take the first two games of the year from Vegas, both of which in Vegas, that's huge. And also, that does a lot for the division.
Is it Leonard and Nett tomorrow?
I would guess so.
I would assume so.
Because I'm hoping there's a back-to-back. Yeah. We tend to get the
Vegas hasn't played since Wednesday.
Ooh, it smells like a back-to-back then.
So they play Wednesday, tomorrow, then Wednesday. They've got some space there. Another thing that I would say is going to be hugely important for the Oilers tomorrow is getting some of the guys off the schneid. My boy Nuge, he's only got one goal in the season. Yes, he's getting assists, but we need him to score. Warren Fogle, he's getting all kinds of chances. We need him to score. Puljujarvi is in a little bit of a drought right now. Need him to get going. So I think having some secondary scoring beyond what they're already getting from Connor and Leon... Cassian got a big goal against Arizona the other night. That all helps, but we need to get some more depth scoring. Our depth is there. We're getting chances. Like I'm thinking about this, the game against Arizona. The second line of Hyman, Nuge, Yamamoto, Zach Hyman probably had 8 shots on net in that night. They just couldn't score. They couldn't get anything actually to go in the net, but they were getting chances. So I'm hopeful that something will happen. I'm hopeful they'll get off the schneid, but I think that's going to be hugely important. Zach, what are you looking at for tomorrow's game against Vegas?
Yeah, I think that depth scoring thing is going to be kind of huge for them, right? Like, it's going to be important for them to get out to a strong start and an early lead. And I think, you know, I really like the new third line of Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and Puljujarvi there. I think that's a great trio. Last game against Arizona with McLeod on the ice at 5-on-5, the Oilers only allowed a one shot attempt against, which is like hilariously good for any team against any opponent. So it's going to be a real test, though, I think, too. Like, you look at the back end, we talked about it earlier on the pod here, but, you know, it's going to be a big test for these guys to see what they're really made out of without our two, three top left shot defensemen. So, and then the question is who goes in net? Do you go with Stuart Skinner or do you go with Mikko Koskinen?
I go Skinner as well.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Dan?
Ask Mikko Koskinen.
Thank you.
I just think that this game to me is like, this is the wake up and figure out your shit in the first period kind of game.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree with you.
If you go down a couple goals to the Vegas Golden Knights with Robin Lehner in the net, good night.
And just to before you continue, Dan, the Oilers have allowed the first goal in 9 of their last 10. That is a trend that cannot continue.
How many of those 10 have they won?
Well, no, I understand.
I get it.
The schedule makers did them some favors.
I'm totally with you on that they're winning those games, so it doesn't really matter in the end. But if you go down, like Dan said, or even just against Dallas the other day, they dropped 2 early in the first period, and all of a sudden you're fucked. So I agree with Dan. They have to sort out the quick starts thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, you give up a goal to Arizona. Like, I get it. Arizona's team you can come back on. But really, you can't even get off to a good start playing the Arizona Coyotes.
They're just doing that for the betters.
I truly believe that that if by the first period we're tied, we win that game tomorrow.
But I think Dan's right.
Even if we're down by a bit, obviously we know what we can do. But Dan is right. Like, we got to take care of our
Dan's 100% right.
That's the issue tomorrow.
Keep saying it. I love it.
Is watching our own end, whether it be the defenseman, the goaltender, yeah, or, you know, the bottom six forwards. We can't allow Vegas to start running around in our end.
We keep saying this shot against Mikko Koskinen too, about letting in the first goal. Why is the first goal always a breakaway? Why is the first shot a breakaway?
That's a good point too. Like, Mikko made a couple of great saves when that game was 1-0 as well. Like, that could have been way worse off the bat.
And don't forget, in his last season here, I think Cam let in a bunch of first shots too.
Oh, like, absolutely. Talbot let
in. It's weird. It's not the goalies. It makes no sense.
None. Zero.
But it's the team, and it's the team allowing that stuff to continue.
But that's just it, too, is that if you go back long enough, you can replace all the management, you can replace all the coaches, and you replace all the players, and they still have the same damn issue.
Yep. Yes. It's a problem.
No sense.
None.
Again, 9 of their last 10, they've given up the first goal. That is a trend that cannot
continue.
It's like
our jerseys are too warm or something. They get them, like, all cozy, and they don't want to get moving.
The training stuff hasn't changed. Maybe we got to start throwing. I'm just kidding.
The
cotton uniforms.
So I've got 2 questions around the horn. We're going to go real fast. 1, I'm going to ask who goes in net for you. 2, I want a score prediction. So I'm going clockwise. Dan?
I'm just on brand if I say Mikko Koskinen.
But I also don't think, I wouldn't be surprised if it is Mikko.
And I see a 5-3. Ah, fuck. I don't want to say it, but it's a loss.
Tyler, what do you got?
I think it's going to be a loss too. I hope it's not, because our party will be lit if they find a way to win tomorrow.
That's an element that we forget.
Yeah,
the good parties, usually you're feeling pretty good by about puck drop at the first period. Yeah. So
my plan is to be 2 a.m. drunk by the time the game starts.
I think the Oilers lose 4-3 in OT. No, fuck it, they win 4-3 in OT.
And who are you starting?
Stewart.
Zachary.
Skinner, 4-2 win in regulation.
Rick.
Can't win 4-2 in OT, so good point.
He's sitting on that one for a while. I'm going to go with Stewie, and we're going to go with 5-2.
I would also start Skinner, though I really won't be surprised if it's Mikko tomorrow, and I'm going to say 4-2 win because I'm on brand.
All right.
Copycat.
Looking ahead, Ask the Idiots time. Man, this podcast is going to be long.
We are going long.
Okay. Holy shit, yeah.
This is like the first quarter of the Cowboys game yesterday.
Man, that game was 2 days long.
It's still going on.
Holy shit. It's still happening. Ask the Idiots for Buster's Pizza. 11 locations in and around Edmonton. Get a pizza, get a Donaire, whatever you want. There's a location near you, I promise you. And these questions that I'm going to throw at the boys, they haven't seen them yet. They haven't heard them yet. I'm just going to get their takes on them. You submitted all of these, and this is to enter to win a gift card from our friends at Buster's Pizza, as he does every week. To my left, my happy helper Dan is here. He's got everything in the mix. We're going to run through the questions first, and then Dan is going to do the draw after. We are going to start with Dan to my left. The first question coming in. It's a small sample size on the small sample size on Skinner has me conflicted on who's in net versus Vegas. Who you boys going with? We already know the answer to that, but why?
I just think that this team and until I'm proven wrong, is going to keep going back to veterans. I think Tippett loves his old guys and loves his guys that he can trust and loves the guys he knows. And so it's not a shot against Stuart Skinner for me. It's just I keep going to the fact that I think that Tippett's going with Koskinen.
And I'm going to build off that. It is about trust a little bit for me. And I mean, Koskinen has given them a chance to win on most nights this year, but I trust Stuart Skinner to make the easy saves more than I trust Mikko Koskinen. So that's why I stick with him.
Zach, why are you going with Skinner?
Actually, I'm going to start Kyle Turris in net. Going to go change positions. Yeah. He struggled with the Oilers since he joined the team. Mm-hmm. I think if there's anybody who can strap on the goalie pads and put in a good performance, it's Kyle Turris.
I respect that a person comes on the pod and they just decide to be the contrarian. That's good. I love it.
Shit posting on podcast. Rick, why are you starting Skinner tomorrow?
I think you need to know a little bit of what you have in him. I think it's going to help you down the road with how you view your goaltending situation. I think you have a couple extra wins right now, so you can play with that a little bit. I think you're confident in the goaltender. I don't think you're any more confident in Koskinen than you are Skinner. So I just see there's a couple more benefits to allowing Skinner to play a game like this than putting Koskinen in there.
I agree with Rick. I think that you play Skinner because he's probably part of the future of your organization. You got to see what you have in
him. If Skinner turns out to be a number one,
it solves a lot of problems.
A lot. And costs you nothing.
Just imagine the story of a hometown kid becoming your starter. Gotta love it. Question number two. We're reversing the order. I'm starting with Rick on this one. As we near the end of November, what would be the three most overrated and underrated teams for you? Most overrated and underrated teams. As everybody is pulling out the standings, everybody is working through it.
Hartford Whalers.
Okay, so right off the top, and I don't think anybody could surprise that I say this.
Actually, let's not say three. Let's just do one just to speed this up.
Yes. Oh, okay, good. Because, overrated, I'm still going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they get their tires pumped a lot. I know they're a good team, but I think it's overdone. And 06, so there you go. And what was the other one?
Underrated.
Well, they were getting no love coming in, and especially from me. And I know they've got it with a lot of OTs and stuff, but I think, when I say underrated, I think who I'm most surprised at, I'm going to say Calgary right now. Especially with seven shutouts. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Calgary's goal differential. They're at a plus 30 goal differential right now. Here's the thing that I'm curious about with Calgary. When Jacob Markstrom starts to look human again, what is that team actually going to do? Because their goal differential is crazy. Zach, most overrated and most underrated team for you in the NHL right now?
So I'm going to use my good friend PDO for this one for a little bit of help. The Calgary Flames, who have been on an absolute heater, are the most overrated team in the NHL.
What's their PDO right now?
103.5.
Yeah, that's very high.
Huge. I just think that they're not shooting well enough. They're not scoring enough. Obviously, you can play as much defense as you want, but you know, at the end of the day, you got to have goal scoring, and you know Markstrom's going to regress to the mean at some point here in the season. For my underrated team, I'm actually going to go with the Seattle Kraken. They are a team that has had absolutely horrible goaltending this year, and their defensive numbers are actually really, really solid. I did a bit of a deep dive into them for Daily Faceoff last week, so I think they're a team that's going to be on the up and up here. Are they going to be a playoff team? I'm not sure, but I expect them to be a lot more competitive down the stretch.
Tyler, overrated, underrated?
Most overrated, I want to go somewhere other than Calgary, but I mean, like, come on, five overtime losses. I think Calgary is being a little bit overrated, and it'll be interesting when Markstrom does come back down to earth a little bit here. In terms of being underrated, the Leafs get enough love, but I feel like people shit on them too much.
It's more because of the media than I know. Themselves.
You know what? I'm going to say the Leafs. I think a lot of people shit on them because of their slow start. A lot of people are sitting there being like, oh, see what they do in the playoffs, see what they do in the playoffs. And they're just ignoring the fact that this is actually like a really good team right now. They're on a roll. Basically, since that slow kind of five games to start the year, they've been rolling. So I'm going to say the Leafs might actually be the best team in their division, and not enough people are talking about that.
Dan, underrated, overrated?
I think this one's going to piss off Tyler, but my overrated is going to be the Washington Capitals. I just think that team is... on a bubble? I don't know.
There's no way that that number 8 keeps scoring at the rate he's going.
Well, it doesn't piss me off. I think the Capitals are really good.
I guess from like earlier and like before the broadcast, you seem to be very upset with people underrating the Washington Capitals.
They to be fair, they are on a PDO burner too.
Yeah, and they've lost five times in OT too.
I was between them and the New York Rangers for me. Like the thing with the Rangers that I think have going for them is that their best players, quote unquote, are not their best players right now. So that would be the element where like the Kakos and the Lafreniers are not lighting up the world right now. And so that's a good thing for them. But I do think that if that continues, that team will not be 13-4-3 by the end of the season. Sure. Obviously. Good line, Dan. My underrated team, though, for sure is going to go to Montreal. I just think that Montreal, like, I think people are forgetting that this team is still, you know, like, with Carey Price coming back. Carey Price can take that team anywhere he wants it to go. And I know that they're missing Shea Weber, and Shea Weber's out for what, until the playoffs?
Kind like of really forever.
He's probably retiring.
So there's that. But I just think that Montreal is going to be one of those teams that we're going to look at and say, you know, they made the playoffs and we were shocked by it kind of idea. So that's my two.
I will bet you any sum of money that they don't make the playoffs.
I want at least one comma in this number.
Oh, they're terrible, Dan. Come on.
I don't think that they're as bad as they as the numbers say, obviously. Because okay. I think Carey Price is right there. I think Carey Price can take this team anywhere he wants it to go.
That's to wrap it up, opinion. I'll just say overrated all three California teams. They had good starts. They all suck.
100%.
Fuck them. Underrated Arizona Coyotes. I love them. They make me a lot of money anytime the others play them. Underrated. I wish we could play them every single night because the other night, thank you, Arizona, you restocked my betting wallet. Thank you very much. Next question, Dan, I'm starting with you first on this one. How many wins will the Oilers have in the bank by the time they tally their 10th loss? They're at 4. This, the question submitter says, I bet it's 23.
What's their record right now?
They are
15-4?
14-5.
14-5.
So 5 more losses.
I'm just going to look at the schedule quickly and say when I think that they hit 10 or 6 more losses, I guess. I'm into mid-December, and I'm saying no. I will say by the end of December, we will have our 10th loss.
Tyler.
Oh, fuck. I'm trying to do math.
Oh, Tyler, yeah,
that's the part
math.
That's got me concerned.
Your rem check math, there. He's got the fingers out. He's counting toes. Shoes might come off here right
so
away.
19-9, so that's 20.
They play so many games in this
19-9 equals.
I'll say they'll get to 20 wins. Is that an answer? Does that
20 wins and 10 losses?
Yeah.
Are you including OT losses?
So that's another 10 games. No, I'm counting OT losses as a loss. Fuck everybody.
Yeah, okay. I'll say that. Zach? Whatever my answer was.
yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna ballpark the end of December, I guess.
What was the question?
December 22.
When will the team have their 10th loss? Is essentially the question.
82 games will be in the books. The Oilers won't have 10 losses. That's my answer. I don't know how to answer this one.
How many more games will it take for the Oilers to lose 6? That's the better.
Yeah. Place. Okay. So yeah, mine's correct. They're gonna get to 20 wins. They'll be 20-10.
All right. So that's game 30.
Because they're playing, what, like 500 hockey right now?
So they play 15 games in December.
Yeah.
So you could still theoretically go...
You know, you go whatever you want, really.
You could go 9-6 in December and still be happy with that.
Yeah.
And it'd be at 10 losses, I think.
Is that end of December?
I fucking know. 11 losses, I believe.
There's a lot of math going on.
See, I don't even know.
14-5 we are right now. Well, 5 more losses sets you at your limit. So when do they get that fifth loss to put you at the top of the
mountain? Say the Olympic break.
Oh, buddy.
I don't know.
If we made the Olympic break with 10 losses, that would be amazing.
We'd be floating if they went that long.
All right, we're going to
just before Christmas.
We're going to move on to the next question. Scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most sure. How certain are you that Dylan Holloway, I'm just going to take this one off the list. I'm doing Ron Burgundy again with these fucking questions, and I need to stop doing that. Scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most sure, what is your expectation that Dylan Holloway would be on the Oilers roster by the time game 1 of the playoffs starts, Rick?
Will he be on by game 1? Yes. He'll be playing hockey somewhere by Christmas.
We're talking about Oilers specifically. Will he be with the Oilers in April?
Yes.
How certain are you? 1 to 10.
Oh, 10, 12, 15.
Zach.
He's playing by Christmas somewhere. So, yes, he's here by then.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say like a 4 because I could see it being very, very realistic. They just keep him in Baco.
Yep.
And let him play there all season, playoffs included. Let him go on a run with the boys in Baco a little bit, get some good pro experience. Like, I don't even know if he's NHL ready. Like, he hasn't played any pro hockey games.
Mm-hmm. They were saying he was NHL ready coming in to the season. Like, they, if it wasn't for his thumb, most of the prognosticators were like, he's going to make the roster.
I was a little cool on that take coming into the year. So,
and look at the guys he's going to try and replace. He's going to try and have to beat out Turris or Perlini.
Are they going to bring him up and put him in the bottom six, though? I don't know.
It has to be middle six.
That
least.
Bottom six all of a sudden isn't that big of a thing when you look at that third line. Okay, all of a sudden, that's something.
Then you have two rookies on your third line in Holloway.
Well, you can drop him to the fourth line.
You could, right? But I don't know if I love it.
As of right,
if he played,
McLeod was there a little while ago.
If Holloway plays good enough, and he's up on the Oilers, like, I'm not going to be upset about it. I'll say that.
Yeah, so you're still at a 4?
Like, I'm still at a 4.
Yeah, there's too many ifs. I'm at a 5.
Dan,
I'm saying 10. He's not on the team. I just think that the GM is going to bring in.
So,
so
your answer is 1.
Yeah. Or, well, yeah, 1. I guess. Sorry, I'm confident that he's not on the team.
Okay.
Because I just think that there's no way that Holland is going to not tweak with this team somehow. And as it sits right now, we already have our young defenseman that's going to play a spot there as Broberg, and then Skinner. So I think that Holland's going to start to tweak with the forwards if he's going
to
do anything.
How many nation personalities does it take to do fucking math here?
So many.
We are all struggling.
Of them. So many. The spreadsheet boys, we are not. Just to wrap up, I'll answer. I'm going to say I think it's a 3. I think if the Oilers... It's not that I don't think that he can do it, but I think with this specific team, I think that's more likely Ken Holland trades assets to get a Ricard Raquel type over necessarily expecting that a unknown commodity fills that role.
At the very least, I can see him just being on the roster to be here. So
he'll be a black ace.
That's on the roster then. That's a 10 or a 15, if you will.
Oh.
Is the question playing games? Or
no,
on
the team.
On the roster.
Well,
but you're not on the roster if you're a black ace.
Yeah.
You're on the roster. You're on the playoff roster.
No.
Last question. Sure, let's wrap it up.
They get on the Stanley Cup.
For Buster's Pizza.
Name on the cup.
Delicious Buster Pizza.
Buster's Pizza is delicious.
Gray area.
We knew the Oilers were a deeper team than last year, but that was ice depth, not necessarily bench depth. Meaning if there's injuries that come up, right? Stepping in.
I get it.
Without bench depth, when any one piece is removed, everyone gets adjusted to accommodate, and the chemistry of lines 3 and 4 especially is lost, making us feel more like a two-player team again. Do you think the Oilers are as deep as we thought they were?
Yes.
Rick starting first. Zach.
You guys have you really got some good ass the idiots questions.
It definitely makes us feel like idiots, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what is ice depth?
Last year, Puljujärvi wasn't as good as Puljujärvi is right now. Last year, we didn't have Hyman. Last year, Zach wasn't as good as he is right now. Last year, Fogle. McLeod wasn't as good as he is. Last year, Fogle. Yeah, there wasn't a guy that I think that we lost that would be better than Fogle. So I just see we're definitely
more ice depth.
More ice depth.
And bench depth.
I just think that what the person, he or she is asking is just, is the depth. Do you think that the depth is truly better? Because we haven't seen it necessarily that much on the scoreboard.
We saw it earlier in the year.
Look at Hyman. Yep. Look at Hyman's goals. Look at Puljujärvi's goals.
Would Hyman be considered a depth guy?
For sure.
They're not top depth guys.
I'm going to go straight up numbers up in this bitch.
Okay.
Which is kind of hilarious because we're all struggling in math. But I'm going to say no because the Oilers' goal differential with McDavid and Draisaitl off the ice is worse than it's ever been in the history of them being in Edmonton. So as much as we can sit here and say, Zach Hyman and Fogle, and they look good, the results, unfortunately, have not been there the way the
Do you think that has anything to do with the other team's coach instead of trying to put his number one against our number one? He's like, fuck it. Anyone go out there, and I'll put my number one out there when your guys' worst is out there.
Yeah, but that doesn't really change it. Like,
It's still depth, right?
Because the problem is that...
Well, goal differential, I think, might be affected.
But the problem is that even McDavid and Draisaitl aren't outpacing the rest of the Oilers roster in the matchups. So I think that's where you run into the problem.
Tyler, is this team as deep as we thought they were?
Not quite. I think early in the year, I was definitely drinking the Kool-Aid on what that third line could do. I think they've cooled a little bit. I still like the depth to maybe bounce back a little bit more than what the numbers say, but I'm not as high on them as
haven't
I was
they proven themselves already with Broberg, Skinner, Bouchard? Just those guys weren't around last year. All of a sudden, those guys are like looking like legit.
Bouchard doesn't surprise me. We heard all offseason.
But there were some people that were a little skeptical on how good he's going to be. Yeah. In fact, I believe some people said he should start the year in the AHL.
Who said that? People said that?
I believe so.
I don't know. It doesn't.
What?
No, I just think the forward depth, which is what I'm talking about here, is not maybe as great as I thought it was in weeks one and two of the season.
Dan, we're wrapping up Ask the Idiots here after 48 minutes.
Tyler just said my answer.
All right, there you go. And we are going to pick a winner. Now we got a little drum rolls.
I picked this like a while ago, but we've been waiting for the question to end.
There's Dan. Our winner is for today's Ask the Idiots submission.
Landon.
That is, he did a lot of mental math with his question. Landon is the one that asked us, when will the Oilers be at their 10th loss? Well, Landon, if your goal was to confuse the idiots, you have done a great job. And now you have won a gift card from our friends at Buster's Pizza. I will reach out for you.
Some say he's landed the top prize.
There you go.
Gene Wood.
There you go. Tyler, get your buttons ready. It is time for the Deuce Vodka Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. Let's wrap up this podcast. But first, I got to tell you, if you go to deucevodka.com, first thing you see, I say it every week, handsome picture of Brett Kissel, right front and center. There he is, holding a bottle of Deuce Vodka. And on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a Find In-Store button. You're going to want to click that. That's how you find out where you can pick up a bottle of Deuce Vodka for the weekend, provided that you are of age and plan to drink responsibly. Little Sunday Funday Caesars, I recommend Deuce Vodka. As we do every week, we start off with our veggies, looking at the last 7 days. Maybe something that didn't go so well for us. I'm going to start to my left, my friend Nation Dan. You are first up with your Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week.
Well, I think everybody's going to have kind of a general theme to their cold performers, but mine's going to go to a very specific play, and it's when Connor McDavid scored his goal against the Arizona Coyotes, and then he took a cross check to the back of his head, and no call was made. And I understand.
Ridiculous.
I understand that in the situation, they would have called a penalty, and then Connor McDavid scoring would have erased that.
No.
But to me,
that puck went in the net and that play was afterwards. That's a penalty that comes up afterwards.
But even if you say that the referees, you know, maybe don't see it in the same time or whatever. But to me, like, here's where a situation where a fight should happen. As a guy that runs hockeyfights.com, I'm solving a problem for the NHL. You're welcome. Why aren't they using a 10-minute misconduct on a guy like Labushkin there to just take him out of the game and say, you know what, you idiot? You're going to do something after the play like that?
I don't think that really falls into the category of 10-minute. It's a misconduct.
It would be a misconduct to me.
A nice suplex, yeah, maybe?
I'm not so sure. We'd have to look at the rule book and see
D-Bone get the tables?
Down. I don't know if that's actually like a physical
hit with an RKO.
Penalty.
Well, to me, it's like it's something that I don't necessarily punish the Coyotes for because it's just a heat-of-the-moment play.
Oh, for sure.
But I think you get that guy off the ice.
For sure. It's a penalty, 100%.
So my cold performer of the week is the NHL for not having a rule or some kind of situation created where we can avoid these Labushkin kind of cross checks to the back of the head. Right after a goal, you're my cold performer of the week.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
They pay two guys to make those calls. They're the ones you should be getting shit on right now.
I agree. Tyler, your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Yeah, I really struggled with one here. I had a really good week. Not a lot negative happened in my personal life. I'm just going to give it to the injuries that the Oilers are facing. Like, I mean, it sucks. Like, you want to see the team stay healthy all year, and the fact that all the injuries happen to one incredibly specific part of their lineup as well is, like, weirdly hilarious and unfortunate. So, all the injuries.
Oh, that's cold.
Zach Lang, your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Well, Tyler took mine, and I don't have the time to think of another one, so I'm just going to go with the injuries, too.
Oh, that's cold.
Rick, your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
This goes to the NFL. You have all the eyes on you. You're playing three games on Thanksgiving, perhaps their biggest holiday of the year, and you put out the worst teams all the goddang time. You've got an opportunity. Utilize it. Put out the best. Fill up Monday with the best, and who gives a shit about Sunday? NFL, they're the cold performer.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
How dare you disrespect my Chicago Bears?
I was just mailing it in on the mailbag here on the buttons here.
Bag milk?
I also thought we had some new buttons, but I guess we're...
I think they're the hot ones, though.
Or are you saving one for
He's
me?
He's got one. He's got like...
Oh, it looks like he might be saving one.
You got a good one.
All right. So to earn this button, I'm going to tack on to what Dan said about the refs. My Deuce Vodka Cole performer of the week is I challenged myself to watch more hockey because just other teams outside the Oilers because I want to see legitimately if the refs are as bad in our games only Or is this just a league-wide thing? And I was watching, I was thinking about a game specifically where I was watching the Lightning versus the Islanders. It was a complete trash pit. Nobody knew what was a call. Things that were getting called in the first period were not getting called in the third. And I think that inconsistency is the biggest problem with the referees in this league. So I'm going to say the inconsistencies of the refs and maybe even not calling the rule book. That is my Deuce Vodka cold form of the week. Oh, that's a good
Some
button.
Clear favoritism going on between your, between Tyler and Bag Milk.
Yeah, he suggested the button.
Tyler knows how to butter
that's
my bread.
That's fair.
Tyler knows how to butter my bread.
I know how to push your buttons.
That's right. Flipping the ledger, we're going to reverse the order. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week. Rick, I'm starting with you.
Well, let's just give it to Philip Roberg. The guy got called up on an emergency basis, and he looks like he's fitting in quite well. Yeah, you can't ask for much more than a guy right now, so Broberg. It's getting hot
in here. Love that. Zach, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week is being back in the office with all of you guys. Aww. This is my first official day back in the office in like a year and a half, Aww. And it's been really nice.
It is nice, isn't it?
So it's us being here with you?
Yeah.
Aww. Pour it on!
The real hot performer is the friends you make along the way. And I will say, just because Zach brought it up, chairs are in. TVs are up on the wall. Mm-hmm. We were watching some live sports before we started recording.
Quality chairs too, by the way.
They're all good. Nice.
Check out that Joel Farabee goal if you get a chance.
It's all good stuff. Tyler, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
I am going with the Black Friday gear. That Nation gear dropped. It was beautiful. It truly never disappoints. Zach is rocking one of the OG. I think that's one of the OG Black Friday.
Yeah, we did that twice.
PC. You're rocking the Toque Bagged Milk as well. It's always great. And this year, it did not disappoint.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Just since Tyler brought it up, if you want to get in on the Blackout collection, go to nationgear.ca. This stuff sells out.
Before Monday.
This stuff sells out, and it is limited time only. So if you're a procrastinator, you're going to miss out. I promise you. Every year, people say, Bag Milk, when is the Blackout stuff coming back on the Nation Gear store? And I say, listen, you are paying attention.
That's a very high-pitched voice.
You are paying attention. I told you it was going to run out, and it did. And now... any order over $100, that's free shipping in Canada as well. Just use the promo code Black Friday, nationgear.ca. Nation Dan, your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, Connor and Lauren did another tour of their house this week. Mm-hmm. And this one was a little bit more in depth, and it got its usual kind of nonsensical responses from people that comment on style when they've never taken a design course in their life. Anyways,
I thought his house looked cool as fuck, to be
my
honest.
My guy and our guy, friend of the nation, Ryder, from Play 107 FM, did the absolute best job.
Unbelievable.
Of trolling, anti-trolling these people, showing off his Shea Lounge, which is just amazing. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, check him out on social media, Ryder FM. And so Ryder, you get my hot performer of the week for your defense of Connor McDavid and Lauren Kyle.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
But it's so good.
I love the new buttons. By the way, if you're listening to this and you have a suggestion for a hot and cold performer button, hit us up. We were talking about some new ideas before the podcast started. We need some new ones.
Call the phone number and leave us a message.
We have a phone number?
Don't we have a phone number still?
Voicemail.
We have a real life inbox I haven't checked in 8 years.
Call the real life inbox.
What is that? How do you get that again? Is that like spankbank.com or something like that?
Whoa. No, I don't remember actually. Speakpipe.com/real life pod.
See, I knew it was something weird. All right, just to wrap this up. Deuce Vodka Hot Performer of the Week for me is tomorrow, November 27th, is our first nation viewing party in 2 years. I am so excited to have a room packed full of nation citizens again to get together. Dan's going to have some trivia. Tyler's going to be your romper chuck. We're going to have prizes. We're going to have a pop-up shop. We're going to have all kinds of shit available for tomorrow's game. I'm super, super excited to get everybody together. We haven't been able to do it forever. It's a big part of the culture around Oilers Nation, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So my hot performer of the week is everybody that bought a ticket, everybody that we're going to hang out with tomorrow. This baby is sold out. Again, if you're procrastinating, I'm sorry. You can't get in. First nation viewing party in 2 years. Hot performer of the week.
This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not.
Oh, Mims.
Also, bonus one. I just saw this from Gene Principe. Chris Russell is 2 blocked shots away from setting the all-time career NHL record for blocked shots.
God Absolutely. Damn.
Legendary.
He will pass Brent Seabrook. I don't know when they started counting this. Clearly not that
Craig
long
Craig Ludwig's
ago.
Number?
I don't even see him on it. It's all just guys who played like recently. So I'm assuming they just started counting block
Ludwig
shots.
Used to like,
I think it was
melt
in the '90s they started counting it.
Craig Ludwig used to melt his shin pads so they'd flare out. So they're like, why does goalie pads?
Wow.
Gene Principe. Anyways, good for him for finding that.
It's a big brain shit right there.
Russell is has 1,997 career block shots. He is behind only Brent Seabrook. Worth keeping an eye on. Duncan Keith, fifth on that list.
We
number one and two.
This is just further proof of the theory that I've been running with over the last few years, is that when Chris Russell was a kid, when he was growing up, just getting to play hockey, he's like, mommy, daddy, I would like to be a goalie. And they're like, do you have any idea how much goalie pads are? No. And he's like, but I really want to be a goalie, daddy. And they were like, no. So now he's just become one in his own right.
Sure.
There you go.
Sounded like a Giuseppe commercial. That's a real life joke.
From our friends at DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Deuce Vodka, Busters.
Slow down. He's getting ready.
Oh, of course, yeah. We get Tyler
here,
again.
We'll give him a quick shout out for a hot performer, to Panarin for throwing the glove at Marchand.
I was just going
to
say that.
There we go. Tyler's got the buttons going. From DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Deuce Vodka, and Buster's Pizza, I'm Bag Milk, Dan, Tyler, Rick, Zach. This is Oilers Nation Radio, episode 168. Huge game tomorrow. Can't wait to see a bunch of you at the viewing party. That's all for the week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out to Artemi Panarin.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.